one important piece of the puzzle and has a role to play. When you're on God's team, no one sits on the bench. On God's team, there is no bench. Yay! Welcome! I am so excited to be with you today. If you're new to Flyover Conservatives, our slogan is wake up, speak up, and show up. We all wanted President Trump to do 80 million things to save our country. You know you did, and so did I. And what we've learned over these last few years, what we really need is 80 million of us doing one thing every single day to save our own country. And somebody that is doing that daily and spending an incredible amount of money to try to make that possible is Mike Lindell. And we are so thankful for that. He sponsors the Flyover Conservative show. When you go to mypillow.com and you use promo code Flyover, you get up to 60% off on your purchases. Obviously, it helps Mike, it helps you, and it helps the Flyover Conservatives. Check out this really cute commercial.
Do your feet ache and throb in pain with every step you take every day of your life? Well, kiss those days goodbye with slippers from MyPillow.com. How about that flimsy, flat little excuse for a pillow that's nothing but 8 hours of disappointment, causing you pain in your neck every single night? You can wake up with nothing but butterflies and rainbows around your head with a MyPillow pillow. Those hardwood floors hurting your old bones? No more with a MyPillow dog bed. Are your towels worn thin, flimsy, more patchy than Joe Biden's memory? There's nothing better than absorbent towels from MyPillow.com. For all of these products and more, go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code FLYOVER for up to 66% off.
Oh my gosh, that commercial cracks me up every single time. So I decided to show you truly my favorite product are the slippers. I absolutely love them. I wear them all the time. In fact, my really good friend was in town a few weeks ago and I had multiple pairs of my slippers. So she was wearing them around, loving them. They are incredible. Love the Giza sheets, and our dogs, they do use the dog beds. What I like about the dog beds that you can actually take off the cover, wash the cover, but you can also wash the inside, which is a massive, because we have a big dog, 100-pound Doberman. As you saw in the commercial, you could actually take the pillow out itself and throw it in the washing machine. So their products are amazing. Again, you can go to mypillow.com, use promo code FLYOVER. There's four things we always see in the show. First thing is, this is the best time to be alive, that we were born for such a time as this. Not 1,000 years ago, not 100 years from now. We are alive right now during this time. And each of us are a piece of a puzzle that God is putting together. And it's significant. We have to bring our piece of the puzzle. We have to wake up. We have to speak up. We have to show up. Second thing is that Trump will be back. Trump will have two terms. It was prophesied back in 2007 by Kim Clement, and we're hearing it over and over and over again, and we're like just excited about what God has for that. He's anointed for this time. Next thing is that there is a billion soul harvest coming. A billion people are going to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. It's not just about a pastor standing in front of a church or an evangelist. It's about you and I also going out and sharing the gospel with people that we love. We're going to be able to lay hands on the sick, see them healed, and then say, how did that happen? And we'll say, Jesus Christ did it, and he wants you to know him as your personal Lord and Savior. And then finally, a transference of wealth from the wicked to the righteous. And I'm just praying, God, let me be a vessel that this money flows through. Imagine what we're going to be able to do with these finances, bringing God's kingdom to earth and partnering with God, the creator of the universe. We've already seen what happens when it's in the hands of the wicked. Imagine what's going to happen when it's the hands of the righteous partnering with God during this time. It's so exciting. Okay, so tons of things going on in the prophetic, but today I really felt like I was supposed to do something special. Several months ago, a friend of mine, a prophetic voice, Wanda Alger, was talking about Psalms 91. And in August, I actually went to Laird, North Dakota. She was doing a meeting there, and I went there to be a part of that. I felt like the Lord said, make that drive, be there. And I learned so much. In fact, I have so many notes in my moleskin learning from Wanda. And that Psalms 91, obviously, you all know we've been declaring it since the beginning of 2023. And there were some things that she was bringing to the table table that I think are really important for this time that we need to understand as the body of Christ. So Wanda's been in ministry for 35 years, hard to believe. She must have started when she was two or something. But over the last 35 years, she and her husband, she's been in music ministry. She's done things in leadership with teaching. She's an author. She's been in deliverance. She's a speaker. And she's a woman with just godly, divine wisdom. She has a strong biblical foundation. And she's a friend of mine. Welcome to the show, Wanda Alger. Yay! Welcome. Hey,
Stacey. Good to be with you.
I'm so excited to have you on the show again. So we had you on the show a while back with David and I, but I really wanted to bring you on the prophetic report to talk about, like I was talking about earlier, Psalms 91. But there's some things I want to get to before that, because 2023 has been a big year for you. You've had quite a testimony, and the Lord has been walking you through some things. And so if the Flyover family doesn't know, I would like you to catch them up to speed what 2023 has been looking like for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, at the end of 2022, I knew that I needed to take a little break, trying to manage, you know, numerous social media platforms, as you know, takes a lot of work, and had been really putting out a lot, but just wasn't realizing how much I was overextending myself. So I took a little break in January, but basically the Lord said, that's not enough. And around middle of March, I actually began to have some health issues as well. And so I knew I really needed to pull back and take several months of a sabbatical. And what ended up happening was I started developing a ring in my left ear, and it began to be debilitating. Actually, after I announced it on my YouTube channel that I was going to take 3 months off, it's like all hell broke loose. And the ring, I mean, it would get up to a level 6, 7, 8, where I could not do anything. And so this really sent me into a wilderness time for several months, and yet a very strategic time of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, bottom line, through that journey, I learned that there was some physical issues with sinuses that I've always had, some allergy related things that, you know, I needed to address, and just some health things. I had let my immunity, you know, get compromised. And, you know, we're spirit, soul, mind, and body. And when you compromise one, they're all compromised. So, so I began to address some of that and saw a measure of improvement. But basically, the Lord showed us that this was demonic. The majority of what I was experiencing, it was not physical. And so we went through a time, several weeks, where I went through deliverance from tormenting spirits. Those rings were tormenting spirits. And because I had, you know, gone outside the boundaries of grace, I just ended up doing too much. And I wasn't taking the time to rest. And I wasn't taking needed time in his presence. And that in itself, the Lord showed for me, that opened a crack in the door and the enemy got in. And so through, you know, praying and learning a lot about spiritual warfare, my husband and I, we both went through a real upgrade in understanding spiritual warfare, how to discern what the enemy is doing and how to pray. I mean, we've learned so much in this, because my husband also was recently diagnosed with glaucoma in his left eye. And we've never dealt with any health issues, neither one of us, our entire lives. And so here, you know, a pastor's sight.
That's a big year. We
both get hit at the same time. And so, you know, we don't think this is coincidence, okay? So we've been paying attention to what the Holy Spirit has been teaching us. Bottom line, I got set free from those tormenting spirits, and the majority of those rings, they left. I got set free from them.
Amazing.
There's still
Praise the Lord.
You know, that I'm still contending for. But in this process, one of the things that the Lord brought us to after a season really of what I would say warfare, of learning, you know, what the enemy is doing and then how to come against that. Praying in the spirit and, you know, through declaring scriptures, repentance, all of that. That's when the Lord then took us into the power of his presence and where Psalm 91 really became alive. So that's kind of the context even for when I shared it on my YouTube channel then several months ago, of the power of getting back into his presence and realizing the power in it, not just to claim it, but to live it, and seeing the fruit of that. So that's kind of the backstory to Psalm 91.
That is amazing. And during that time too, you were going through deliverance, you were going through a hard time, but you were also having encounters that you hadn't had maybe ever before, or at least in a long time. Can you explain a little bit of that as well? Because God was encountering you in a time that was really dark and really hard.
Yeah. It was about 2 or 3 months into it where I had gotten delivered from the majority of those demonic spirits. And at least I was able to kind of, you know, manage my days and start posting again. But the Lord led us to a particular protocol that was kind of controversial. But we really felt like the Lord was saying, you know, trust me in this. And I mean, there's a long backstory to all that too, but basically we stepped out in faith and I felt like the Lord was saying, start taking these doses. And that's when the Holy Spirit, I began to have visitations of the Holy Spirit. Every time I took a dose of this particular protocol, the Holy Spirit came on me powerfully to where I couldn't move. He began to show me just aspects of his nature, of his character, of his heart for me. And I learned after several days of this happening, several times during a day, because literally every time I took a dose, I would experience this. He was getting my attention and saying, Wanda, I'm showing you my protocol for healing, wow, for my power, for my glory. And so I began to just walk in that on a daily basis. And eventually he even upgraded that to the baptism of fire, where he then began to visit me with fire. And I'd never experienced that before, and really teaching me about his glory. And so in this entire time, there's still a little bit of the ring left in my ear. It's not totally healed. And so this too has been part of the journey of walking through the fire, yeah, walking through things that are not comfortable, but yet apprehending a grace that I've never experienced before, understanding parts of his character and who he is that I've never seen before. And it's really impacted my husband and I. And, you know, we're coming out of it, but I know that a lot of what he has shown us is going to be powerful tools and weapons for a lot of other people.
It's huge. You know, something that we're kind of hearing, there's so many things I can't wait to get into with you. I'm like, where do you go from here? Because there's things that you brought up that I think are really important for people to be aware of. But through the summer months, I'm sure you're aware, because I know that you've brought up Dutch Sheets, and I believe you talked about Tim Sheets before, but them talking about the June, July, August being significant and almost like a command, like almost consecrating yourself because the Lord's going to do amazing things among us, almost like what we heard about with Joshua, what God told to Joshua before they crossed over the Jordan into the promised land. And the things that you're saying, I think, really have to do with where we are today, that it is where these encounters, this time with the Lord, setting ourselves apart, it's really important, because I think we're going to see some crazy things that might, you know, we're seeing some crazy things with weather. They're talking about shakings, all kinds of stuff. But I would like for you to touch on setting that time apart, and even what you had to talk about with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the significance of speaking in tongues. Can you address those three things?
First of all, praying in the Spirit. When Bobby and I, because this would often happen in the middle of the night, there would be an attack with a loud ring, and we'd go out and we'd start praying in the Spirit. And what we found with that, you know, sometimes in scripture, it talks about praying in the Spirit. We can pray in an unknown tongue. And sometimes we can pray in the Spirit as a means of intercession because we're praying God's perfect will. Mm-hmm. But for us, we felt like the Lord directed us to do that, to get outside of our own understanding. You know, I like to understand things. I want to know, okay, what's happening? How do I fix this? And the Lord said, no, you have to clear your mind of your human understanding. And so that, when we did that, we started all of our prayer time. We just prayed in the Spirit. And sure enough, words of knowledge would begin to come, or visions would begin to come. It just opened up the atmosphere to the Holy Spirit, you know, revealing what we needed to know. So that's what I would say about praying in the Spirit. It's a powerful weapon, both for prayer, but also just for getting revelation and understanding from the Spirit.
Can we touch on that real fast? I'm sorry, before you go on, because something that a lot of times in the comments, we've walked through it a few times, you know, with, you know, on the show, the prophetic report, we'll talk about praying in tongues. And, you know, I've prayed through it with people before. But one thing that you talked about in Lair, you actually had people come up if they would like to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But you even let them know, don't feel anxious or be like, oh, I didn't get it here, because they might get it in the car later on. Can you touch on that a little bit, too, that it's not where, oh, I didn't get it, so where do I go from here?
Right. I know for myself, I didn't receive that language right away. I mean, I kind of had to work at it because I didn't understand it. It's supernatural. Mm-hmm. And what we encourage people, not everyone experiences it right away. I know some people try to, you know, prime the pump and, you know, try to instruct you how to do it. What I have found is if you go to the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, it says they were praising the Lord in unknown tongues. I have found that when we just give ourselves to the Lord, we are in worship, we praise him, we thank him. That's when it comes. I've heard from numerous people that that's when it really comes. So don't work at it. Don't try so hard. It's not a mark of spirituality or spiritual maturity. It's a language with Holy Spirit. You know, he is a person. He has his own language. Just worship and praise, you know, and it will come. Mm-hmm. So
that's really good. And that's something that you spent some time talking about in Lair, is a spirit of thankfulness, you know, living in that, even, you know, being thankful for what the Lord is doing and praising the Lord, because in that time, blessings are going to come, because that's a biblical thing. You know, if you are thankful, you do get blessings. You can't help it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm glad you said that, because even since Lair, that conference, the Lord is highlighted in this whole journey that I've been in this year. There's three strategies that he has shown when dealing with a demonic attack or a spiritual attack. The first is warring against any strongholds or hooks that the enemy has, you know, where you take a stand, you repent, you know, of anything that needs to be repented of, and you declare the word of God, you break that right, that claim the enemy has. And that is where you're warring actually for the lies in your own head, and you're declaring the truth. But then the second strategy is being still in his presence. And that's what we'll get to in Psalm 91. It's learning to just be still, because the Lord very specifically told us at one point, stop fighting. It's now a different strategy. You're clear. Now I just want you to stand. And that's what Ephesians says. You know, after having done all, stand. He says, don't pay attention to the enemy. They're all empty threats. Just stay standing. Trust me. Be still and know that I am God. And so that's a very important strategy. Yes. Because you're fixing your faith. You're not fighting anymore. But then the third strategy you just alluded to, and that's the joy of the Lord. You call it thankfulness. Mm-hmm. The Lord's been upping it for me. My middle name is Joy. And so this has been something I've always known, that there's going to be a lot more, you know, in the days ahead. But the joy of the Lord is a weapon. You know, we know scripture says that God laughs in the face of his enemies. And so this is actually the strategy that the Lord has instructed me right now, is it's the joy of the Lord. I don't have to fight anything. And yes, I'm practicing his presence. But whenever some, you know, anxious thought comes my way, I give thanks to the Lord. And I have those scriptures. I have those songs declaring how good he is, how amazing it is. Thank you for taking me on this journey. So those are all very important strategies. The key is you got to wait on the Lord and hear, Lord, which one is it? Don't presume. And he'll show us, you know, how he wants us to face those attacks.
Oh, that is so good. I love what you said about do not presume. So we'll go back to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which I want to talk about too. But can you talk a little bit about do not presume? Because even right now, because obviously on this show, we do a lot with the prophetic. We're hearing a lot of prophetic words come in. And sometimes through that filter, because you might want something so bad, you could almost twist God's words to make it about anything that you want it to be, whether there's a timeline or whatever. So being very careful to not presume something, but take the word as it is. And that's something I've been really aware of. When I was with you, that was when I just started the article for Patriot Sentinel that I was writing on a weekly basis about the prophetic and what was coming through. And I remember you saying that there, and it really hit me. I have to be very careful with the show that I'm doing, as well as the written word, that I am only showing what, you know, what God's saying, and in the writing, only writing what God is saying and not what I hope he's saying or what I think he's saying through the things that I'm interpreting. So can you touch on that a little bit too?
That the Lord really hit me between the eyes with it, because and maybe Colton can bring up the scripture. I think it's in 1st or 2nd Samuel when the prophet Samuel is rebuking Saul for not fully obeying the Lord. You know, he said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and presumption is as the sin of idolatry.
Ooh.
I never paid attention to the second part of that verse. You know, we love talking about rebellion and witchcraft.
Yes.
But presumption, the Lord looks just as negatively on that. And prophetically, yeah, there's prophetic presumption. And the Lord showed me that I had begun to operate in that. You know, we can all say it's from a good heart. We want to, you know, be on and we want to have integrity. But I mean, he really was holding this. He holds the standard high, especially mm-hmm. when we're talking about prophetic things. We can't presume anything. And if he doesn't say it, then we can't say it. We can share our opinions. And, you know, that's right. The challenge. Okay, this is what I think, you know, might happen.
I hope.
yeah. But I mean, I've really backed off and really take time to assess. Now, is this really what the Lord has shown? Yeah, there it is there. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and all arrogance like the evil of idolatry. That's probably a different translation, but mm-hmm. wow, well, there you go. Arrogance yeah. and presumption, the Ooh. Same thing.
Yep.
So, you know, it's, you know, what he said in another way, the Lord is saying, listen to what I say and then repeat what I say. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I'm at. Lord, what are you saying? That's what Jesus said. I can't say anything that the Father has not said.
That's great.
And, you know, we are in a time when we want to fill in all the gaps, you know, yep. and we like to give that hope to others. But, you know, this is my call, Stacy, is we can all hear the Holy Spirit speak to us. And we don't always have to have a prophet. Well, we don't mm-hmm. have to have a prophet. We can hear the Holy Spirit. Obviously, yep. prophets have a place. But the Lord purposely doesn't even show us things at times. There's a reason for that. Because he wants us to let go of control and our need to know. So if he doesn't say it, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. Just keep focusing on him. So
that is really good. Okay, thank you for touching on that. Can you talk a little bit about the baptism in the Holy Spirit or a fire? I should say baptism of fire that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, well, you referenced Dutch Sheets and Tim Sheets, you know, and the words about a time of sanctification. Mm-hmm. When I began to experience the baptism of fire, and it hit me one night where Holy Spirit had already been waking me up in the middle of the night. And I mean, his presence was on me heavy. And there were times where I knew that he was saying, I'm protecting you, because it would often happen at 3 o'clock in the morning, when, you know, the high witching hour, like I yes. call it. And then there'd be other times where he just like, I'm here, because there was a ring in my ear. But the one night I was on fire, my whole body. I really thought that I was having an allergic reaction to something. I'd never felt anything so strong. And, you know, the next day, you know, cause it lingered all night, I realized, I think this is the baptism of fire. And it continued the next two nights. And it still has continued at times. And I know what the Lord is doing. It's a sanctifying fire. And this is what he began to show me, is that in order to address, you know, the things that the enemy is doing, we're going to have to do this at home, in our own cities, in our own regions. We've got to have the fire of God within us. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's only so much that can be legislated. This is a move of God. His glory is coming. And when he started taking me into this, you know, there's been a lot of prophecies about the coming glory. Well, the glory is at the throne. It's at the fiery coals, you know, the altar of surrender, the mercy seat. He's sanctifying us because he wants us to be holy. We can't experience his glory if we're not sanctified Ooh. And purified. And this is the work that we all have to be willing to go through. And as I've heard from others who have also experienced hardship or affliction, going through fires. And again, mm-hmm. remember, the promise is not always to take us out. He's always going to take us through.
Right.
So sometimes that means that there might be pain, there might be suffering, affliction, hurt, but God uses it all as we go through. What he's doing, he's sanctifying and perfecting our faith because this is what he did with Jesus. You know, there's numerous passages that talk about, though he was a son, he suffered. You know, through what he obeyed his father, and he was perfected in his faith. This is what the Lord's doing in this baptism of fire. He is sanctifying and purifying our faith so that our faith rests in him alone, not in our circumstances, not in people, not even in our own feelings or you know, physical ailments. Our faith is fixed in him. Mm-hmm. And regardless of the timing, you know, yep. or what that looked like, you know, even for me, as we continue to walk towards this, my faith is fixed. He is my healer. I'm going to see the fullness, you know, of the healing manifested. And so I'm not paying attention to, you know, what my body tells me at times in mm-hmm. terms of, oh, yeah, you know, it's the enemy, really. I mean, we need to listen to our bodies, but you know what I mean?
Sure.
Our faith is fixed, but it has to be tested. The only way that we grow in our faith is when it's tested. So that's the purpose, I believe, of the baptism of fire. It's yielding and surrendering, you know, any presumed right that we feel like we have to understand, to know, to be mm-hmm. used. You got to lay it all down. Because when you do, then that's when we get lit up, you know, and we're set on fire. It's the burning ones. I think you remember that was the call in Lair.
Yes.
It was, will you be my burning ones? Just like Ooh. Isaiah 6, because we are the carriers, the glory carriers, the fire carriers. It's in us. It's through us. So, you know, just imagine it's only going to take a few of those to set the world on fire.
Amen. Amen. It made me think of, it was like 2020. I'm not exactly sure when the song came out, but I think it was around that time. But David came across a song called Refiner. It was Stephanie that was out of Bethel, a Jesus culture, and Maverick City. And it's about the refining fire. It's amazing. So Flyover Family, if you haven't seen it, I'll put it in the notes below because it is a great song. It made me think of that as you were talking about that, Wanda. So that baptism of fire is important. Something that you said earlier, and I've heard you, and I just want to expand on a little bit. You're talking about like cities, your own region, and I've heard you talk about almost, I don't know if you called it a sanctuary city, but almost these cities that are just full of glory. Is the Lord kind of showing you something about that? Because I've heard about it prophetically from some other people. So can you touch on that a little bit and what that might look like in our future?
Yes, this is actually a message that we've carried for years. And I talk about it in my book, Moving from Sword to Scepter. There's a whole chapter in there of city transformation. And there's also on my website, even a that book at the end of every chapter, there's 12 chapters of that book. There's a prayer guide. And I made a PDF download called Securing Your City. And it's on my website. It's a PDF download just for a couple of dollars. It's all 12 prayer guides to securing your city. It'd be a great tool for intercessors.
Yes. Okay. So the website, just so you guys know, if you're just listening, it's WandaAlger.me, WandaAlger.me. And so the book's there. And then where's the PDF, Wanda? It's there on your website as well.
Keep scrolling down there, Colton. Almost there. Go down further. There you go.
Look at all your books. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Securing Your City. That's where it is. Yeah. This is the reality. Is that we have to take our territories. I just wrote a blog yesterday about this. You know, we know our focus is on the nation and on the nations, and certainly we need a turnaround there. But in the end, if we look at it as a deliverance process, because that's what's happening, we're going through deliverance as a nation, we have to keep it. We have to displace all of these strongholds with the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And it has to start at home because we have to keep our land, our territory. And so this is something the Lord's been directing me back, even the last number of months. It's been very noticeable. The prophetic intel I've been getting, the dreams I've been getting, the majority of them have to do with our city, our community, our region. Mm. There's a reason for that, that we have to get engaged at the regional level, the territorial level. And we talk about territorial spirits, and that's what I put in my blog yesterday, kind of a mini teaching on what that is, what that looks like, what Jesus said about it. God's purpose is that our entire city is filled with the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Notice in the New Testament, you know, Jesus or the apostles, they don't reference denominations or churches.
No, nope.
They talk to cities. It's an entire city. this is the role of shepherds, of pastors, of the fivefold ministers within cities, is to claim that territory, because this is very much on the land. I mean, this is huge in terms of what the enemy is trying to do. Mm-hmm. We see it on the land, trying to poison and infect all of the elements. I mean, yep. Our water sources, that plants, I mean, everything. It's because there's a spiritual reality that God has blessed the land itself. And so we need to pay attention to that. And I see it, and it's been prophesied too. I've heard different ones who have even called out different cities that the Lord has already shown them that this is going to be the case. And it's based on leadership. You got to have leaders who yep. are going to, you know, be the spearhead to get that vision out and to, legislate it, but in the church especially, to teach and have those foundations where there's going to be cities that people will know, I can go there and the Lord's presence is going to be there. And it will be a place of refuge. I mean, scripture talks about cities of refuge. That's what it would refer yep. to. You know, the way that they're translated, you know, in our government, sanctuary cities, is the opposite.
Right.
But biblically, there are cities of refuge. And we've already seen there are cities all over this nation who are just given over to darkness
yep. because Definitely.
Of the current leadership. So yep. this is what we have an opportunity is to make right. In those cities.
That's so, huge. Yep. Thank you, Colton, for pulling that up. What's the reference on that, Colton?
Numbers 35, verse 6.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, that's amazing. And, you know, we're hearing about that. Even, you know, say like a General Flynn, he talks about, you know, local, when you take local action, it makes a national impact. You know, he talks about that, not even necessarily from a spiritual standpoint. He's just saying, you know, take action in your own area. But spiritually speaking, you know, we're hearing that even prophetically over the last few weeks. Donna Rigney has been talking about that. I heard Charlie Shamp, you know, talking about that as well. And of course, yourself. And so there's a lot of prophetic voices that are talking about that. And so again, the book that you were talking about was Moving from Sword to Scepter. And then they can download it. Is that right? The PDF to get that specific thing?
The PDF is just the prayer guides to the book. Yep. But then Moving from Sword to Scepter, it's on my website. It's also on Amazon and Kindle for those who are international. But that is a tool book for the yes. church in terms of taking your city. That's what it's all about, is prophetic intercession, godly leadership. It was one of the, I put it out a couple of years ago, but it's been one of my best sellers. Definitely recommend it.
That is perfect. So you can buy the book there, and then you can download a PDF on prayer, specifically praying for your area. Just want to make sure I understand those two things, right?
Yep. Securing your city is a download. Yep.
Perfect. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about declaring scripture. You talked about Ephesians 10 through 18. I'm sorry. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, about putting on the armor of God and learning how to declare scripture. Can you talk about that? Because that's an important part of where we are right now as well. We've got to protect ourselves, but how do we do that? And what does that look like?
Well, I think it's great to partner this passage with Psalm 91, because if you look at this entire, all the armor of God, nowhere in that passage does it say to fight. It says to stand. Mm. You know, the armor of God is for protection, but it has to do with who we are. This is about identity too, in terms of putting on the helmet of salvation. Do you know who you are? Your shield of faith, you know, who are you trusting in? This is really a personal assessment of your spiritual immunity, okay, to the enemy. This can be found when we practice Psalm 91. They go together. And so if we learn, you know, all these pieces of armor, and of course there's many who have taught on this through the years, in the end it says, you know, to stand. Obviously the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And I recently heard it was Bill Johnson who actually said this, that sword, the actual word, is not this long tall sword that we often see in memes. It was actually a very short dagger that the warrior would have to cut out if they were hit with an arrow, that they would take that out and they would actually pull the arrow out of themselves.
Ooh.
It was actually used to cut out their own flesh.
Oh, I mean,
that
wow.
is what I I believe the sword of the Spirit is for, because this is talking about, do you know who you are in Christ? The enemy should not be able to have any hold on you. That word of the Lord is, you use it on yourself, because the battle's up here in your mind. It's the stronghold of the mind. I mean, how much have we seen that the last couple yep. of years of propaganda? That's the purpose of the sword of the Lord. It's not out there fighting principalities. So I think we need some upgrades in some of our warfare practices. And that's yes. what I get to in my book, Sword Deceptor. But it's a very powerful picture, you know, of using that sword on ourselves.
Yes, it is.
Just make sure that we're standing rightly.
Okay, so talk a little bit more about that then with putting on the armor of God. And you talked about, it's about a standing. You know, talk a little bit about that and the significance of our identity, of understanding who we are, and then the importance of standing during this time.
When I was going through you know, getting over this ring, and still it was kind of debilitating. And the Lord woke me up one night, and because it was really loud, I couldn't sleep. I went out to the living room, and it was as if I was in a training camp with my commander in chief. He sat me down. He said, "No, this, we're not going to pray. I need to tell you some things." And the very first thing he said is, "You need to put on Christ. You need to stand in Christ." And the picture that I got, of course, I thought about this passage, but you know, we think about what would Jesus do, okay? And I picture Jesus, you know, in various situations. But the Lord was very specific, me being inside Christ and Christ being inside of me, like we're one person.
Yes.
Because it's always been fairly easy for me to picture Jesus in my mind. Okay, what would he say? What would he do? And the Lord said, that's you. When you put on Christ, that's how you need to think. You have the mind of Christ. You have all the resources to do what Jesus would do, to think like how Jesus would think. But I found I had to be very intentional in that. I didn't realize how much I was defaulting to my own understanding and my weaknesses, my vulnerabilities, rather than taking that place. Wait a minute. According to the word of God, this is who I am. You know, and I would have to pull back those scriptures that would reiterate, you know, the strength that I have in the Lord, and that I don't have to bow to that spirit of fear, you know, or those anxious thoughts. And so he was training me what that really looks like, you know, on a daily basis to be in Christ and to stand there. Because, you know, I can't imagine Jesus fighting the devil.
Right.
I mean, with one, you know, he will say, be still.
Yep.
And so, you know, to me, I think that would be the mark, you know, that, wait a minute, if we have the authority of Christ within us, it should only take a word, you know,
man, that's powerful.
And so I think we just work way too hard in our flesh. So it's something we're all going to have to learn how to practice, I think.
Man, that is really good. I remember, you know, because David and I know that you had a son that went through Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, and Colton, David and I, that's where Colton met his wife, Michaela. We all went through the School of Supernatural Ministry. And I remember, you know, Bill Johnson talking about there is no fight. I think sometimes people look at Satan and God and they think there's a fight between the two of them. There is no fight between light and darkness. When you turn on the light, darkness flees. There is no fight. And understanding that you can't be in the second heaven fighting, that's not where God has called us. We're actually fighting from the third heaven. We're in the throne room with God. You know, and so we have a completely different perspective. It's almost like if you're in an airplane and you're flying at, you know, 1,000 feet versus 30,000 feet, you know, it's like you can see so much more from the throne room and there's a greater understanding. But it's when you're standing and when you're with God, because when you understand that God didn't even get off his throne to kick Satan out of heaven, you know, I mean, it wasn't a fight. And understanding that and understanding who we are in him and when he's in us, just like you said, we are one. We have the mind of Christ. We are one. It's not Jesus is over here. No, he's in us and we have that complete authority.
Well, and this is where my book came, Moving from Sword to Scepter. The Lord gave me a picture of me being on this battleground, battle after battle, you know, wearing my armor and holding my sword up, trying to go yet again. And yet my father up on the hill, you know, in the throne room saying, you need to lay down that sword and come up and use a scepter. I mean, it's moving from sword to scepter. Do you know who you are as my daughter, as my son? You need to start using the scepter, the authority that I've given you. You're fighting way too many battles. The enemy's just distracting you and he's trying to wear you out. And so that was really what birthed that book. Understanding that whole position of being seated with him and what that looks like, you know, and how that changes our prayers. You know, I used to take a sword in my prayer time. When I was taking a scepter, my prayers changed.
Woo! That is so good.
It will challenge your thinking, because when you hold a scepter, you don't fight with your scepter. You declare with your scepter. And so I've even taken my scepter with me at times when I speak, because it's a very powerful visual, you know, as a reminder of who we are and the invitation that we have to stay seated with him. Of course, we have to know what he has decreed and what he has said, you know, and then repeat what he says.
Yes, that is so good. It goes from ruling and reigning. When you have a scepter, you are ruling and reigning. And when a king, you know, makes a decree, there's not a fight on it. It's like, okay, that's what's going to be done, period. You know, oh, that is so good. I love that. Well, let's go ahead and move on to Psalms 91. So I'm really excited about this. Something that you had talked about was not just claiming Psalm 91, but living out Psalm 91. So that's been a big part. At the end of every prophetic report, you know, we declare Psalms 91 over our homes, over our families. You know, we've been going through that. But can you talk about what it looks like living out Psalms 91, not just claiming it and declaring it?
I have found that the key is in the very first verse. If we understood what that verse really means, it would make the whole psalm make sense. If I use the ESV version, verse 1 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." There's four key words there. He who dwells. That word dwells literally means to sit down, to settle, to marry. This is very intimate. When we dwell with the Lord, this is something, it's very close. We sit down, we take time. We can't do this on the fly. We can't do it driving in the car. We have to settle, to sit down, to dwell with him. Then it says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. That word shelter means a covert, secret place, away from accusations, away from threats. It is, I believe, a designated place where we have set aside, this is me and you, God. This is my shelter. When I go here, when I sit here in this corner, I go to this room, this is our time, our place, and we guard that. That's very important. So he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide. And that word abide means stay all night, tarry, linger. We have to be willing to wait. That's what makes it the hardest.
Yep.
To wait.
You're like, come on, God.
I joked, I put it on my social media post a couple of weeks ago. One morning, the Lord says, Wanda, quality time is my primary love language. Which is not mine. You know, if you know the five love languages, mine is acts of service. You know, let's do something. Yeah. So quality time is what the Lord loves, right? And so.
Didn't you say one time that's Bobby's love language as well, your husband's? And so you're like, okay, Bobby, let's do this. Why don't you clean the toilets? That's my love language. And I'll sit here and talk to you while you do it.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, it's very hard for us who like to do things, you know, just to sit and wait. But this is what he's been pretty insistent on it. And I think this is what it means to abide, that we're willing to wait, to surrender our lists, to surrender our agenda and wait for him to speak. Mm-hmm. So that's really important. And then obviously we're abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, you can't be in someone's shadow if you're not close to them.
Ooh.
And so that's very important. I do this from a distance. We can't do it, you know, through a second person or through a spouse. We have to own it ourselves. And so to me, that first verse is key. This is the invitation. You know, the Lord is looking. Will you sit down, take time in a secret place, take and invest? Because we have to think of it as an investment, okay? An investment in his presence. Because this is when I got a hold of this. This is when I began to feel his tangible, manifest presence. It wasn't just me sitting in the quiet, literally his tangible manifest presence would come on me. I would feel it, wow, the weight of his presence. And I mean, now it's pretty much, that's what my quiet time is. It's the weight of his presence because I have consistently practiced that place. I have carved that time out. I haven't always been as faithful as what I'd like, but it's a priority because mm-hmm. it's the life source. This is where we get our fuel. And I also said in another post, I forget what word it was. He said, time in my presence will determine your capacity. Pursuing my glory will determine the outcome.
Ooh, that's this is powerful. Huge. It is.
Because we need a capacity to receive from the Lord, to hear his voice, but we need a capacity to give out. If we're going to be carriers of his glory, I mean, we need to enlarge. The invitation is to enlarge our capacity to hold him, mm-hmm. to hold heaven inside of us. And he says, time in my presence is going to determine how much that is. And this is the key. It's an invitation. He does not pull us there. He does not prod us there. It's an invitation. And depending upon how you respond, that's going to determine your capacity. If you want a lot, invest a lot. Mm-hmm. And then pursuing his glory, I mean, it's this place of the baptism of fire, of realizing, Lord, I surrender it all. I don't know what this is going to look like, but I'm okay with that. I want all of you. I want your glory, which is his goodness. Mm-hmm. And that's where he's going to reveal himself. I mean, even everything we're seeing that's happening around the earth, he's preparing us for his glory. He wants us to be prepared for that because that's what's going to be seen. Yeah. That's what's going to be revealed. You know, it is this amazing unseen kingdom, you know, that the kingdoms of this world have been trying to keep us from. Yep. Press through and get there.
You know, it's really interesting. When I was in Lair, you actually had us kind of write down what we wanted to get out of the weekend. You know, that was the first night. And I, you know, had out my journal and I wrote in there. But when I went back home, I really felt like I had quiet time. You know, I would always have quiet time, but I would get up at 5 a.m. and then I would go exercise at 6. I had a workout class that I would go to, and I'd have to leave the house at 6. And so there was always a time crunch. It felt like, you know, God, like, you know, okay, I've got this amount of time, but I got to go because I got this class, you know. And it was interesting, after I left there, I felt like the Lord said, and I don't know, I'm sure that I'll figure this all out. I haven't yet. You know, it's been the month of August and now September, where I just get up in the morning and I'm like, okay, God, this is the time, you know, I have the time, and I don't have an exercise class that I'm going to go to. I've been trying to walk at night, but where it's not like a time crunch of, hey, this is the amount of time I've got, God, and so you got to show up during this time. And I know that not everybody has, you know, hey, I got all the time in the world, but I think it is rearranging your schedule to make him a priority and being like, yeah, okay, I want to find as much time as I possibly can so that I can encounter the Lord. Because it's not, you know, I remember David, you know, talking about before, because he's a quality time person, just like Bobby is, you know. And so for him, it was like, I want to be just as important as, you know, you getting up and doing the dishes or whatever. I want to feel important. And I know God is the same way. I remember Amanda Gray saying one time, you know, she actually asked the Lord, like a relationship, how are you doing today? How are you? Instead of, hey, bringing all of my junk, you know, hey, God, I want this, I want that, I need this, I need this, this is bothering me. But actually taking the time, like you would in a typical relationship, and saying, how are you? And really caring and waiting to hear back from him.
Yeah. You know, it's not always the length of time. I mean, face it, if there's a young mother watching this right now, who you've got kids running around the house, the Lord knows the time that you have available. And you start there. You know, for some people, you know, carving out that time, it might mean 10 minutes a day, and the Lord is going to bless you for it. Others have more leeway. And so, mm-hmm. you know, don't compare yourself. Just listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you. And just, I think it's more the consistency than the amount of time. It's practicing it every day. This is a part of the protocol, you know, for physical healing, spiritual, emotional healing. This is the protocol, getting in his presence, because that's where you're going to start hearing from him. Mm-hmm. just like Elijah going out on the, you know, mountain. He's waiting to hear God through all these means, you know, through the thunder and the fire, the wind. It was in that still small voice. It was in the quiet. And so, but we have to practice that because of all the chatter, you know, even on social media, you know, that's the reality. And so that too, we have to really guard to what we're feeding on. And, you know, probably what I know I learned myself is we have more time than what we think.
Yep.
If you really would assess what you invest your time in, I think we would all probably realize, you know, I don't have to be spending quite so much time scrolling through Facebook or, you know, looking at that magazine or watching that movie, whatever. I just know that the investment that I put in even this year, it has been phenomenal. And I continually ask the Lord, give me that hunger to be with you. You know, and that, you know, if someone is struggling with even a desire to do this, ask the Lord. He will change your heart. Just say, Lord, give me a desire to be in your presence. Help me to, you know, reassess my priorities that I want to be with you. I've prayed that numerous times, and he's so faithful to do that. You will find your heart being drawn to him. And that's a beautiful thing.
It's huge. I think that's really important in understanding and being able to be obedient to what God is calling you to do, whether it's setting something to the side or spending less time on, like you said, Facebook. Man, it is pretty, I mean, it's amazing how much time can be wasted in social media, you know, or on TikTok watching a video or whatever. You know, it goes by pretty quickly. I'm like, how did that much time go by? It was only a 10-second video.
Yeah. Yep. Happens to all of us.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, so there's a couple more things I want to bring up, but let's talk about first how people can find you. So we have the WandaAlger.me. They can go there. That's your website. Also, you have videos on YouTube. You can go to Wanda Alger on YouTube. That's a great resource. I love to watch your videos there. And then also, you're on Facebook. So let's talk a little bit about Facebook. How can people find you there?
Just go to my private page, Wanda Alger, and I've been posting some on there. I do have a Telegram channel. I haven't been posting quite as much, but I try to keep up with people there. If you go back to my website, the best way to keep up with the resources I have, the words I put out, is to subscribe to Wanda's weekly newsletter there at the top. I put it out once a week, but in that newsletter, I give everything that I put out that week. And I give a lot of freebies in terms of resources and PDF downloads and my latest blog. So that's the best way, is to subscribe to the weekly newsletter. And then I've got a lot of resources on my website as well. If you go into resources, they're topical. So if you're interested in specific topics like dream interpretation or intercession, end times, last days, you just click on that and it will take you right to articles, PDFs, resources, videos, you know, because it's years worth of stuff that's accumulated. So
that's try to amazing. Make it handy. And you definitely have a gifting in teaching. You are a wonderful teacher, and I've learned so much from you. So I really enjoy the resources you have, and I love the videos that you put out. And I'm excited to read your book. I haven't read that. I know we talked about that when I was in Lair, and I actually completely forgot about it because that was a book I was going to get. So I'm so glad that you reminded me. And I'm going to go on and definitely order that. I'm excited about reading that. So as we close out, Wanda, would you be willing just to pray for the flyover family, however God leads you, but, you know, even understanding what it looks like in our prayer time to encounter the Lord, and that that we just take it to the next level, going through the refiner's fire, just willing to have that baptism of fire and wherever else the Lord leads you.
Amen. Okay. Well, Father, we just, this time, Lord, I thank you for all those who are watching right now, that Lord, their hunger has been stirred. I believe that it has. By your Spirit, you are stirring a hunger for your presence. And Lord, just as you did with me this year, I pray that those who are watching, those who are listening, that by your Spirit, you would direct and guide each one to find that place of your presence, that it would become a wellspring of life. That, Lord, there would be healing found. There would be revelation gained. There would be comfort and security apprehended. Father, I pray that Psalm 91 would be revealed to each one in a fresh way. Even as they go and read through it verse by verse, Holy Spirit, enlighten their understanding. Help them to see themselves standing in Christ, being clothed in Christ, in this place of your presence, God, that would build their faith, their confidence, their sense of assurance. And Father, I pray that by your Spirit, you would teach us wisdom. Teach us your ways, Lord, that we, as we seek your face, Lord, show us, Lord, how to steward your presence. And yes, Lord, we surrender to the baptism of fire. Lord, even knowing that at times it's going to be hard, at times it may be painful, but you will take us through because that's your promise. And I just release even that promise over those right now who are going through the fires, who are passing through the waters, that, Lord, they would know your presence, that they would take comfort in your presence, build their faith, Lord, with confidence of you bringing them through to the other side, to victory. And, Lord, I pray that the joy of the Lord would be our strength. Teach us when to fight. Teach us when to be still and listen. Teach us when to rejoice, that we can be fully one with you, Lord, and that we will see the results to our prayers. So, Father, I just pray that your Spirit would take everything that's been shared, water those seeds, and I pray that it would bring forth much fruit to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So powerful. So, Flyover family, you can go to WandaAlger.me. Make sure you register for her weekly newsletter. Also, get the book Moving from Sword to Scepter. I'm so excited about that. And then you can get the PDF by scrolling all the way down to the bottom. Follow her on Facebook. Check her out on YouTube. Make sure you like and subscribe to her YouTube. And Wanda, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your truly your heavenly wisdom that you bring and your solid foundation. I appreciate your teaching and I really appreciate your friendship.
Oh, amen. Same here. It was a blessing to be here, Stacy.
Now it's time to blow our shofars together. And just like we saw when they went around the walls of Jericho and they yelled, those walls came tumbling down and they blew their shofars. The walls came tumbling down. And I believe that as we blow our shofars and as we are yelling, the same thing is happening in the spiritual realm, that the angels are going out and they're shredding the platform of the enemy and those walls are coming down. There's power in the shofar. So if you have yours, grab it. On the count of three, we'll blow our shofars together and we will yell. Are you ready? One, two, three. Make toast. Thank you so much for joining me today. I bless you. I bless you to realize you were born for such a time as this. I bless you to realize your future is brighter than your past. And I bless you to wake up, speak up, and show up. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'll see you back here next time. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Flyover Conservatives podcast with David and Stacy Whited. Please subscribe, hit the notification bell, and leave us a comment below. Lastly, if you enjoyed today's podcast, share with those who came to mind. Be blessed and make it a great day. Hello, Flyover family. Join me every Wednesday for the Prophetic Report at 11:11 Central. You can find it on Rumble. You can find it on the Flyover app. We have such an incredible time of hearing from all of these different prophetic voices like Robin Bullock, Julie Green, Barry Wunsch, Amanda Grace, and Hank Kuhneman. Every week, it's either five or six different prophets that are speaking. And what's interesting is God is speaking through them. And all of these voices come together like puzzle pieces. It is so exciting to hear what the Lord is saying. We're hearing from medical. We're hearing from military intelligence. We're hearing from the financial world. We're hearing from mainstream media. But the most important is, what is God saying? He has not fallen off the throne. He's not nervous. He's not chewing his nails. He is in control. He has plans to prosper us and not to harm us. What a great time to be alive. And I'm so excited for you to join me every Wednesday at 11:11.